Hi, today is March 21st, 2015, and this is Comics Use Podcast number 67. I'm Todd Ogasawart, my good friend Jay Stone, and today we're going to talk about a couple of new TV series and new TV series characters, some new characters on existing shows, that sort of thing. In any case, the first thing I'd like to mention is that Daredevil, which will be exclusively available on Netflix on April 19th, is just about to start. If you go to YouTube, you can find a couple of preview trailers to give you an idea of what the show is about. The character's costume doesn't look like either the yellow or red costumes that a lot of people might associate with Daredevil. But I think it's more realistic on a live-action TV show than, you know, red spandex. What do you think, Jay?
Yeah, it does look more realistic. I had read, though, that there's a version of Daredevil in the comics that looks like that.
Maybe the Howard Kagan version or something.
Yeah, I don't know which. I read someplace and I couldn't figure out which version, what time period. But supposedly it's a version of when he first started.
Okay.
And probably a retcon kind of thing.
Yeah, and that makes sense, right? I mean, who starts off in spandex right away?
Yeah.
Right, I mean, even Spider-Man in the original comic book started off with just a mask around his, you know, tied around his head, and he was dressed in street clothes. So, you know, even in the real comic books, or I should say in the comic books, that we saw that sort of thing. And in a retcon version, we saw the Batman Year Zero kind of stuff, where Batman's costume evolved greatly over time.
But I think it's coming out on the 10th of April. That's what I thought.
Say that again?
I think it's coming out on the 10th of April.
Oh, that'd be even better. Okay, sometime in April in any case, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's April 10th. The cool thing is, what I'm reading is that the whole season was released at once.
Which is pretty much standard for Netflix, or for their original series that they've released so far.
And then, supposedly, you can also get it in Ultra HD 4K.
Well, that sounds scary.
Right? So, like, pretty high resolution?
Right. Of course, you'd need a special 4K TV, and you'd need a lot of bandwidth to get 4K down. I think 4K requires a minimum of, like, 20 megabits per second.
What?
Yeah.
Wow. For it to even, like, seem reasonable?
Yeah. I mean, when you think about it, right, so 1080p HD requires, what, about 4 to 6 megabits per second? So 4K, which is basically 1K, right? So 4K, yeah, kind of makes sense.
Okay.
You need a lot of bandwidth. So most of us aren't going to be watching it because, well, at least I don't have a 4K display, so I won't be watching that version. But yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it's cool that they're offering it. And I'm glad that they decided to do it like how they do all their other TV series all at once.
And really, it's future-proofing, right? I mean, I don't exactly know how they're going to make their money back because this is no commercials, but the idea that you're future-proofing a TV show by producing it at such high resolution in, you know, 5 or 10 years when 4K TV may be more common and hopefully cheaper, you'll be able to watch it in high definition all over again.
Right. Yeah, I saw the trailer.
Yeah.
Latest one where the Kingpin's talking.
Yeah.
And I was surprised they got Vincent D'Onofrio.
Yeah? I'm not familiar with the actor, but...
Oh, did you see Men in Black?
Yes, I did.
First one?
Yes.
Okay. You know the guy who gets taken over by the bug? It's his skin?
Yes.
That's Vincent D'Onofrio.
Oh, interesting.
He's a very good actor. He's a very good actor. He was in Law & Order, Criminal Intent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's a really intense actor. He's excellent. Because he's a little bit bigger now. Like, he's a bit heavier.
Right, to fill out the Kingpin role.
Right, but he's not so heavy as what they portray in the comics, right? He's just really huge.
Right.
And he's a very tall guy. So it makes sense. And he's been going bald for a while now. I don't know if because he is losing his hair or he's just shaving it for his characters.
Mm-hmm. But it certainly fits for this character.
Yeah, and I saw some of the other actors in the show.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see, oh man, they got, you know, Stick, right?
Yeah.
The mentor?
Yes.
Shoot, let me go back. That guy I've seen him in other films. He's a really good guy. He was in like Backdraft and all this other stuff.
I was going to bring up the fact that Stick, who mentors the young Matt Murdock to hone his other senses, so to speak, when he goes blind. So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how that develops.
Scott Glenn.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a good actor. He was in The Right Stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah, good movie.
He was in Backdraft.
Also a good movie.
Yeah, he's been in. I really enjoy that actor. He's a very good actor. So I mean, I think Marvel is doing it. You know what I think they've been successful at getting these really good actors to play key parts.
Yeah.
You know, which is good.
Yeah. So in less than a month.
Yeah.
Whether it starts April 10th, April 19th, sometime mid-April-ish, we'll be able to watch the entire series. Do you happen to recall how many episodes are in season one?
13.
13? Oh, that's a good number.
Yeah, it's their typical what Netflix does. Yeah. I think House of Cards is the same, too. I think every season is like 13 or something. Yeah.
Okay, at least we know what we're going to be doing, binge-watching one weekend, probably.
Oh, and the thing I think is so great, right? It's the beginning of the Defenders, right?
Yeah.
Those, right? But they're first there's Daredevil, and then they're going to bring about all these other heroes that then will become the Defenders.
Yeah, kind of a small screen version of the way to develop the Avengers.
Yeah, and I've always liked the Defenders.
Yeah, but you know, to me, well, again, mostly because I'm old, but when I think of the Defenders, which are kind of a back in, boy, when did it come out? In the 70s?
Yeah,
70s. It was kind of maybe it's unfair to call it a second string Avengers. But the characters in the Defenders that I remember included the Valkyrie and, you know, those kind of characters. So, Daredevil wasn't part of the Defenders that, you know, I remember. It doesn't mean this doesn't fit because I just didn't read it after that, but... You know, I think Doctor Strange was in there. It was kind of a real interesting mix of characters in there.
Yeah, but I always like comic books that are a little different, offbeat.
Yeah.
I like the underdog kind of comics.
Yep. Not to be confused with Underdog, the superhero.
I like Underdog, the superhero, too, though.
Right.
It's pretty cool.
Okay, and next up is something that's a little further off, I think fall 2015. And that's Supergirl on CBS. There's already a fan site up called Supergirl.tv and an associated podcast devoted to that one show called...
Before it's even out.
Yeah, before it's even out. There's already a podcast for it called SupergirlTVTalk.com. So you can go find... I haven't listened to it yet, but I'll probably give it a listen just to see what they're talking about. So if you are going to be... serious about watching that, they've got a fan site and a podcast to listen to devoted to just that one show. I don't know how they're going to do that. That's pretty amazing.
Why do you think it's like that, though?
What's that?
Is it because of Smallville? Why people are so into this? Or it's because that people are just starving for Superman-related stuff, like shows and things?
Well, I mean, you know, there are dedicated websites to pretty much all the shows, I think. In fact, it might all be descended from, the Smallville talk, so.
Yeah, was the Krypton site?
Yeah, Krypton site. Yeah, which was an excellent website, by the way.
Yeah, that was a really cool website.
I mean, it looked like heck, but it had a lot of good information. I mean, I really enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a good site.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it.
What I mean is, like, I mean, I know I really liked Man of Steel.
Yeah.
I loved that film.
Yeah. I didn't, but okay.
Yeah, I know a lot of people didn't, you being one of them. Yeah. I think Emil, too.
Yeah.
As well. But, so I'm wondering if people are happy for a Supergirl show that's a little bit more, I mean, it's not canon, but it's more along what would be more, I would say, is a traditional kind of story. Man of Steel was really kind of, it was like a, I don't know, it's more like a parallel universe version than people used to.
Well, all of them really are, right? I mean, none of the superhero movies, Marvel or DC, are really, following canon. And, it's to be expected. Hollywood always makes little changes here and there. Sometimes lots of changes. So we'll just have to wait and see. But I'm hoping that to answer your question, I think people want to see some kind of a super, you know, DC superhero show, and you know, the flights and tights stuff versus some of the more realistic things like Daredevil from Marvel, or even Arrow, where until the Flash came along, there were really no superpowers. You know, there's people that are very strong, that sort of thing, drug induced, whatever. But it'll be nice to see a flights and tights kind of show, I think.
Mm.
If it's done right, if it's not too campy, if it's not too dark, kind of, you know, the Goldilocks and Three Bears, but just right.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly, you know, looking through some of the articles about it, I don't even recognize the characters they're bringing into the show aside from Supergirl herself.
Yeah, they're creating all new characters.
Yeah.
Because what have they got? But aren't they having Jimmy Olsen?
Yes. Which it makes no sense at all, but maybe that's a way to somehow tie it into Superman. I'm not sure.
I don't know why they name her Kara Danvers, though.
I don't know
why they got that.
Well, I guess they use her Kryptonian name plus the human surname. I don't know.
Because wasn't it Linda?
It was Linda Danvers, yeah.
Yeah. So, Hank Henshaw. Well, you know Hank Henshaw, right?
No, I don't.
Oh, he's Cyborg Superman.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Hank Henshaw is Cyborg Superman.
Okay. Yeah, that was a long time ago. That was the pre-Doomsday, post-Doomsday stuff, yeah.
Yeah, so he was. So I'm glad they're bringing him in. But, you know, they're basically using some of the characters from Superman and putting them in Supergirl. Like, they have Toyman.
Right.
Right, they have Vortox.
Yeah, those make sense to me. Those are okay. You know, those are good crossover villains.
Yeah. And I can't believe they got Callisto Flockhart to be Cat Grant.
That is, yeah. Yeah. Well, having Cat Grant and Jimmy Olsen in the Supergirl TV series is interesting, considering that neither of them were in the last Superman movie, right?
No. I don't remember if Jimmy was in there or not.
I don't think so. I think it was just Lois.
There at the end?
I don't know.
I couldn't remember.
Not a memorable character, obviously, if he was there.
Yeah, and then, you know, how they did in Smallville? They changed the ethnicity.
Right. For Jimmy Olsen, no, they didn't.
Oh, no. It's Maycod Brooks is Jimmy Olsen.
In Smallville?
No, in Supergirl.
Oh, yeah. I did read that they were going to just shift it to a Black American type.
African-American. Yeah. So, like what they did with Pete Ross?
Yeah. And you know, that worked in Smallville.
Yeah, it did, actually.
The ethnicity shift didn't affect that at all, I think.
No, he was a pretty good actor.
Yeah.
It's got to be a good actor. That's all that... To me, that's all that matters.
Right.
And like you said, right, it's not canon.
Right. So, you know, I'm trying not to worry about it too much, although the Fantastic Four stuff is still bothering me.
Yeah, but to me, it's like... the trailer blew me away. I was like, wow, that's really good. But I'm not sure it's Fantastic Four.
I didn't even think it was a Fantastic Four. I saw the trailer at the theater. I forget which movie I was watching. But that wasn't a Fantastic Four. I saw that and I said, yuck.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's... I don't have a problem with changing ethnicities.
Yeah.
Of the characters, per se. But it just... It's curious to me, right? Because, you know, how does it work out, right? I mean, that's the father, and then it's a mixed family. Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah. Adopted.
Yeah. I mean, and then at the same time, you see the trailer, and it just seems so, I mean, how do they even get together? It doesn't make any sense.
No, there's no how, what, when, where, why kind of stuff.
It's just, in a lot of ways, so mysterious.
Yeah. Well, to me, it's like watching a Transformers trailer. You know, there's a lot of flash, bang, explosions, and things whizzing by, and no substance.
Yeah.
Now, something that I hope will have substance is there will be apparently a spinoff that doesn't have a title yet, but a spinoff from Arrow and Flash featuring Adam and Captain Cold and some other characters that we've seen in the CW series, so that'll be kind of interesting, I hope.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, the Adam and Arrow doesn't shrink, so I don't understand.
Yeah, so far not so much, right?
Yeah, so I don't know what's. I mean, you saw Ray Palmer in his suit, right? So it's like,
which is just an OMAX suit.
Yeah, and it's like, is he like a version of Iron Man?
Right. So for folks who don't remember, OMAC was an acronym that stands for One Man Army Commando? Something like that. Anyways,
One Man Army Corps,
thank you. Invented by Jack Kirby, and it was a human being back then, I think. Yeah, with a mohawk. Yeah. A guy with a mohawk that was super strong. I think he transformed from something. It's been a while since I read OMAC. But it was part of the Commandy universe kind of thing.
Yeah, last boy on Earth.
Yeah.
There's a satellite called Brother Eye who transforms the human into OMAC. And, One Man or
Four. Right. And in Arrow, there's some reference that either Ray Palmer or someone else makes to the fact that this was originally designed for OMAC, Project OMAC or something like that.
Yeah, and he relabeled it Atom, Project Atom.
ATOM, right. Which is, right, another acronym, which is not the way it is in the comic book. Atom is literally the Atom.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. How can it be the Atom if he doesn't shrink, so?
Yeah, although, you know, I think there were some references earlier in the Arrow series where he talks about caves in South America or something like that, so. You know, like a mine, like a diamond mine, or probably Africa if it's a diamond mine, but some kind of a cave system that he needed to take a look at. So I thought maybe that was a reference to eventually him going to that cave and, you know, being using his lens to shrink himself or something to escape. Mm. We'll have to wait and see.
And the cool thing is they're going to have Firestorm in it too.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, it'll be a pretty powerful group. I mean, you know, this kind of like Iron Man slash Atom type character and Firestorm, which is probably the most powerful character we've seen in the Arrow universe.
Yeah.
I mean, if they'd had him, Deathstroke would have been, you know, toast, literally.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, and that's the problem with really powerful superheroes, even the Flash, you know. If the Flash were as fast as he was in a comic book, he'd be pretty much unstoppable, right? I mean, he'd, you know, vibrate through you and put your hand in the heart and you're dead. So there's not a lot of people that could stop somebody that, you know, who can go at the speed of light.
Yeah, but that's what makes him cool.
Yeah, yeah. So lots of good stuff coming up. Are there anything else you can think of that's coming up in new superhero TV shows or new characters or spinoffs? Those are the ones that I could remember, like I found.
Well, that's coming up?
Yeah.
Or that's already there?
Either way.
Yeah, those are the ones that I heard are coming up. And then the one, did we want to talk about iZombie?
Yeah, why don't you? I didn't see the show yet, so I just saw some trailers. So can you tell us a little bit about it? I didn't even know it was a comic book series.
Yeah, so I think it's on the CW. iZombie's debuted on Tuesday with the Flash, I think. I don't know who led because I only have Hulu. And so it's a story of a girl who becomes a zombie and she has to eat brains. She was going to become a surgeon, right? Mm-hmm. And then she somehow becomes a zombie. They show you how she does in the TV show, the pilot. And then her appearance changes. She's very pale and has white hair and, you know, and then she wants to, you know, she pretty much has given up on a lot of things in life. And then she has to eat brains on a regular basis. Otherwise she becomes more inhuman.
Mm.
And then she ends up working in a morgue.
To get access to brains.
Yeah. Where she can access the brain. Right? So she works for a medical examiner, a coroner.
Oh, okay.
And then what she finds out is that as she eats people's brains, you know, when she eats someone's brain, she gets their memories, their experiences. And so the whole show is basically, well, how she eats people's brains and then sees, you know, what happened to them and tries to solve murders.
Okay.
Right?
And I think the comic was pretty close to that in a way, but it had weirder characters. It was a Vertigo comic, the Vertigo imprint, so it's a more independent type of comic. Came out a few, maybe 5 years ago or so. And it had a cast of characters that you wouldn't see in a TV show because they're a little, you know, they're a little out there.
Mm-hmm.
So she had, I don't remember all of them. I remember I read it on Wikipedia, and she, one of the characters was a were terrier. Right. And I would love to have seen that, you know.
So she's not really a zombie in the traditional sense, based on what you've said, and I'm kind of looking at the Wikipedia page myself right now. She's not really dead, right?
Oh, no, she's dead. She has no heartbeat. Yeah, she has no heartbeat. Her temperature is very cold, but as long as she eats brains, she acts like a normal person. She just looks dead because she's extremely pale, and she has white hair, and she always says her eyes are a little weird looking, you know. And if it's the guy who created the TV show is the same guy who did Veronica Mars. So if anyone likes Veronica Mars, and my family, we love Veronica Mars. We watch. It's like the only comic book show my family will watch with me, because they're not really into comic books,
right?
But they like Veronica Mars because of the kind of the writing and the, you know, the murder mystery solving and stuff like that,
right?
You know, and it sounds a lot like Veronica Mars, just with different characters and the fact that she's a zombie.
So, now I have a question. Again, I'm just kind of looking. I haven't seen the show yet, so I don't know anything about it. I'm just looking at Wikipedia entries. So, in the comic book side of the story, it says that it's set in Eugene, Oregon. Is it also set in Eugene, Oregon in the TV show? TV series?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, somewhere else?
I think so. I don't recall where it's...
It's
supposed to be. I think they did. I just didn't pay attention to it.
Okay. So the locale really isn't important from the so far, at least from episode one.
Not for me. I mean, for the original comic book writers, it is.
Yeah.
Because the creators of the comic book, one of the guys lives in Eugene, Oregon.
Oh, okay.
Right. So it was who was it? Chris Robertson. I don't know who that is. And Michael Allred.
Okay.
Michael Allred. He's a pretty good artist. I like him. They did it for maybe 2-3 years or so. It won. It was nominated for an Eisner Award.
So does iZombie basically, was it just a setup for the first episode, or they set up the antagonist and all that yet, or is it?
They set up everything. They introduced all the supporting characters. They basically how she became a zombie. They introduced her family. They introduced the. Probably who the big bad is and all this kind of stuff. So they got away with a lot of, not got away with, but they addressed a lot of the basic foundation of the show, set up all the rules for now, right? Because they can always change it later of how things work within the show.
Right.
So they did a really good job of introducing the character and setting up, you know, the whole world, you know, in 42 minutes or something.
Mm-hmm.
I think they did a really good job, and the actress who plays her, I don't recall if I've ever seen her anything, but she does a good job with it. And it's interesting because she has a very I think she has a good set of supporting characters around her, the main character.
Nice.
That's always good.
Yeah, so you sound pretty positive about this. You think it's worth me spending $2 to go buy, pick it up from iTunes or somewhere? Since I missed the first show.
You don't have Hulu?
I don't subscribe to Hulu.
You might be able to get it on just regular Hulu.
Oh, because it's because it's a new episode?
Yeah.
That's a good point.
And then also, don't you have the CW app?
I probably have it. Never used it.
I used to, before I paid for Hulu Plus, and for me to watch Smallville and Arrow, I used the CW app.
Oh, got it.
So usually CW in the past was very good about posting new shows for at least a couple weeks or more, depending. So chances are you can watch the full episode on the CW app.
CW app or Hulu. Okay, I'll go take a look at that.
And the CW app has commercials too, so I think that's why they don't mind you. You know, you can watch it through there. So they have a way. They have a revenue stream.
Right. And I assume Hulu does too. If you're not a paying subscriber.
Even if you're a paying subscriber, you still watch commercials.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I do know that. That's why I never subscribed to Hulu. I thought that was a ripoff.
It is kind of a ripoff, but at the same time, it's like, you get it really fast. So
yeah, I guess so.
So I mean, and so. It's,
and you're a cord cutter, I should note. So
yeah, I'm a cord cutter. To you. That's it.
Yeah.
So I'm actually very glad to hear about Apple on a different subject. Apple's TV service.
Yeah.
And I was actually really glad to hear about HBO Go.
Now, if Apple's TV service is, I don't know, say $30 a month, are you going to subscribe to it?
Probably not.
Okay. What's the price point that you would find attractive?
$20.
$20? 20 or lower? So $14.95 would be a winner.
Oh, definitely. Easy. No, hands down.
Yeah.
I'd probably go maybe as high as $25.
Okay.
But if it's like $29.95, $30,
yeah, starting to push it. Yeah.
Yeah, because now I'm coming near basic cable.
Right. You might as well subscribe.
The basic cable.
Right.
Right. Which is what I had. That's why I cut the cord, because I have Netflix, digital only, and Hulu Plus.
Yeah.
That's like, what, $16, $15, something like that?
Right.
Versus I was paying $55, whatever it was.
Yeah.
That was years ago. So if I still had basic cable, it's probably going to be more expensive. Right. So we're perfectly happy not, you know, having cable or anything like that. You know, I have no problem. We really enjoy it. We like on demand. I mean, when we really want to, we'll just rent a movie from iTunes or we'll just buy it. You know, and we get everything else from Netflix and Hulu Plus.
Okay. And we're
happy with that whole arrangement.
Yeah. That's right, interesting. Now. That's interesting. I'm always interested in how people, figure out how to consume their entertainment.
Well, I think one of the big problems with Apple TV right now is that you don't have a good way to access sports.
That's true for everybody, though, right? I mean, for no matter what.
I thought Roku had more options, but I don't have a Roku. So, because like on Apple TV, I think what do you have? You have NBA, NHL. MLS.
I think there's some ESPN thing on there.
No. There's no ESPN that I'm aware of.
Really?
There's an ESPN app on your phone, but I don't think I don't have it on my Apple TV. Unless I hit it. I don't remember that. And even if you do, you have to have a cable subscription. Right? And then they also have Major League Baseball. But all those services, you have to buy NBA's subscription or MLB or NHL, right? It's not part of a package. So I think if Apple could find a way to get sports.
Well, it says I'm looking at a June 19th, 2013 press release from Apple. And it says watch ESPN now directly available on Apple TV.
Yeah, but you need a cable subscription.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So you can get all these apps, right?
Right.
On Apple TV, but you...
I thought that was on HBO Go. Okay, I got you.
No. HBO Go now, the new HBO that they just announced at the Spring Forward event, you don't even need a cable subscription. You can buy it directly from HBO.
Right. No, that's HBO Now. I think HBO Go is still the same thing.
Yeah. So... a lot of the channels you have on Apple TV, either you have to buy a subscription directly from that service, or you have to have a cable subscription and key in your cable subscriber.
Okay.
And I think your account number or something like that.
Okay.
Some kind of passcode or whatever.
Okay.
So yeah, I have it, but I can't watch it.
Got it.
Which is weird because I can do it on my phone. I can't really watch things, but the ESPN app on my phone has, I can at least follow games, and I can't watch the actual game. I can read things, I can see videos of some news and things. It's much more versatile than the Apple TV app.
Okay. Alrighty then. Well, we'll come back to this when the new services start in Apple TV, and there's also a new Apple TV rumor to be coming out later this year too. So maybe we can talk about that in context of how we consume our entertainment.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
That'd be kind of fun, yeah. So, in the meantime, this has been Comics News Podcast number 67. Tadugasa Award, my good friend Jay Stone. We kind of took a look at some of the upcoming TV shows. Daredevil on Netflix, Supergirl CBS, some kind of spinoff on the CW, presumably from Arrow and Flash, and iZombie. iZombie's on CW?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's on CW.
Okay. So, mostly
CW. What they want to add.
Oh, go ahead.
I'm just looking at the Defenders Wikipedia.
Okay.
And it says, a.k.a. Jessica Jones is supposed to come out this year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. It says 20 on Wikipedia. It says 2015, sometime in 2015.
Hmm.
Right, Jessica Jones.
Yeah. Did they say what? Where it's going to be?
On Netflix.
Oh, on Netflix.
Yeah. So right, this is that whole Defenders.
Right.
So they're going to have Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Iron Fist, Luke Cage, and then they'll form the Defenders.
Interesting.
At the end, after they introduce them all.
We will look forward to that. That's Comic News Podcast number 67.